啊，当时当然这里啊，农家园啊，当地基山当农家山地基，再加上深度当没地基拖呢，反正啊，地基啊都农家用过的是。啊，对深嘛度啊，晓得深嘛度啊，来就是深牛毛不晓得送啊，是个是吧？对下空中外界了，说把咱的那个南面了，说不接完深嘛度啊些。实际上，再来点呢，深嘛度啊了，点呢点呢，俺就农家园具体地质局院长再来点呢，农家园过来些是吧？那心毒啊，心毒啊，来点呢，第一用过的是心毒啊，是的，心给维修了说啊，这些肩膀上、再膀上、先列分别什么当来的，那头巴上，他们就给我特别给，那肩膀肌啊，解决什么肌啊，就是那给维修什么当来，加上心毒啊些，再给维修，就算点呢，心毒啊，再来点呢，俺就给那第一用过来一些，第一用过来，第二再当是心毒的、没毒啊，点呢，那第一的用啊些，用过来一些。当然，这深度一个，他不那么多些，当然就年轻些的，可能几个人生，当然就跟那么七八单就越多呢。深度一个，他不那么，年轻些的人吧的，当然就他妈，我都学过了吧。
Good evening. We all want to experience happiness and be freed of suffering.And whether we are experiencing happiness, our longed for happiness, or unwanted suffering, depends on our mind. In particular, whether our mind is subdued or tamed or not. If our mind is untamed, unsubdued, that means our afflictions arise and dominate. And the mere arisal of an affliction, such as attachment or anger, causes suffering.The mere arisal of affliction, let alone the acting under its influence. However, on the other side, if our mind is tamed, is subdued, then our mind is peaceful and calm and suitable to cultivate great qualities such as love, compassion, definite emergence, bodhicitta itself, and wisdom realizing emptiness. Here in our text, where we're looking at the method, the practice of the Lama Chöpa,This is a skillful method to tame or subdue the mind. And we've been looking at various practices to accumulate virtue and purify as well, and that's all in order to tame or subdue the mind. So when one is engaging in this practice, one could do so on a regular basis or sometimes also in retreat. One often will start each session with this, each day. And there, one will ensure that the preparatory practices are done. There are six of them, and they include ensuring that the place of meditation is clean. One has a properly arranged seat. One's shrine is also clean and arranged, and the offerings have been attained in a faultless manner. And then that one sits in the required posture. So there are six of these preparatory practices. And thereafter, one engages in mental development, starting with cultivating the mind of refuge.
안디네게다지니가저기냠랭가르쳐베네담보디다가저기참가네스쳐베네다조사디무조하든고르티치바차고로가와있네
If one is doing retreat on any topic, these six preparatory practices are the same and need to be followed.
나디네지네나디제레야원저기다동반이삼다동반요금다디동배가래안가저기지게다이담다가저들지시로시는들지시모와기되네사실진일랍아니지게되네제 对吧？对那个啥，囊缺精力了吧？的切过了哇，囊缺精力了吧？现在囊缺，囊缺的缺些精力了吧？切过了哇，囊缺的缺些，区别在忙不学而不愿意，区别在说区别，这些精力了吧？切过了哇。
Thereafter, one reflects on emptiness, and one also, before engaging reflections on emptiness, one makes supplications for inspiration or blessings to one's yidam, engages in meditation on emptiness. Having meditated on emptiness, then one blesses the offering substances, both the outer offerings as well as the inner offering.
And this is the first time that we have to do this. 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 We have to do
Thereafter, one again reflects on emptiness, and from emptiness, one generates or visualizes the merit fields before one, as we have on the cover of our book. And having generated or visualized the merit fields, then one invokes the wisdom beings to come and abide within the visualized beings. Thereafter, one engages in the varying process on offerings, including the offering of a mandala. The performance of offerings is the first of the seven limbs that one engages in. So this in our text expands over a number of verses. And then one progresses to the second of the seven limbs. So this would be for us verse 38, and that is that of confession. And this then is followed by the remaining five limbs: rejoicing, requesting to teach, requesting to remain, and dedication of merits. So thus far we've covered the preceding verses. We now on page
7.
And last week we came up to and concluded the verse 38, that on confession, the third of the seven limbs. And tonight we will look at verse 39, that in rejoicing in virtue or rejoicing in merit.
Milam Chichin Jeba Tamjiki, Dera Chiyan Cheve Namgala, Daja Samba Tevi Yirang Mo Seche.
Verse 39. Though all things are like a dream, lacking inherent existence, I sincerely rejoice in the bliss and joy of all Aryas and ordinary beings, and in every virtue that has ever arisen.
And Chidang Jugi Kewa, Jeba Nyamin Chidu Kabla, Nugunla Chanju Semna. And 로코랑 이란
First one generates generates bodhicitta, the motivation of bodhicitta, then recalls once again emptiness, or cultivating or generating the wisdom realizing emptiness. Thereafter, one has the required prerequisites to engage in rejoicing. So the practice of rejoicing includes the reflecting on the emptiness of the three spheres. In other words, the object. In other words, whatever it is that one is rejoicing in, that is empty of inherent existence. The act of rejoicing itself, so that consciousness, that mind of rejoicing, it is empty of inherent existence. And thirdly, the third sphere, the person, the practitioner engaging in the rejoicing, that they too are empty of inherent existence. So the act of rejoicing incorporates all three spheres.
And I'm wondering, Disigua, Chenam Rashin, Tema Dandra Yang, Sidu, Chenam Rashin, Tema Dandra Yang, Chu said, Chenam said, Kovi Dubi, Cheta, and a Nyangle, Koale, Debigi, and a Che, Tamje Sigure, Cheta, and a Donda, Dijavan, Koa, Dan, Koal, Kordia, Kovi Dubi, Chetan, Koale, Debi, Chek, and it's in a Cheta, and a Rashin Dubi, Rashin Dubi, Domba, Rashin, Maduba, Ezo, Tema Dandra, Chenam Raja, Tema Dandra Yang said,
Just before I commence with Genla's commentary, just to say the order of the Tibetan and English isn't so precisely matched, so sometimes it will come across a little mixed in English. Okay, now going to the commentary. All things or all phenomena refer to all phenomena, those both to be found within samsara and those beyond samsara. In other words, those of samsara and those of nirvana. So all phenomena lack, and now for us in English we go to the second line, lack inherent existence. So all phenomena, whether of samsara or of nirvana, are empty of inherent existence.
Tapa jiu mar kowalu drivi chusi de kowalu drage, tablam lam jirimba nyamlenje, and then nyamlen jibi nyamlenjimbache, kowalu dresen, bang kowalu tabala, torsevi lam nyamlenim, just chasan kowalu to chorch chagurwa. Tangadu dabo nyomomba de dene lesa, dene kowala, dene duanyo de, no kowi de jesin chor in chadudua, chasan kowalu nyamlen debigi chorchiche, kowanyan kowi church chorchiche, ni chagurwa.
Just to correct my translation in the previous segment, I mentioned all phenomena, or all things, refers to everything that exists within samsara, and I also said once, I think, that nirvana. So nirvana wasn't said, it's all phenomena within samsara, and those going beyond the mundane. So now to go to Geshe-la's commentary. So all phenomena, again, refers to everything that exists, phenomena then are divided into two, those bound within samsara and those going beyond samsara or going beyond the mundane. So those that are bound within samsara are classified as having arisen from the cause which is contaminated karma accumulated under the influence of the afflicted minds. So everything that has arisen in this way is bound within samsara. For example, our aggregates, our body and our various consciousnesses, the various types of suffering, the suffering of physical and mental pleasure, the suffering of physical and mental pain, the suffering of transient pleasure, and all pervasive suffering. All such illustrations are objects or phenomena bound within samsara. And moreover, all the material objects that we utilize, everything physical, or not physical, everything of form or material that we utilize, this too is an illustration of an object bound within samsara, because the cause was the ripening of a karmic seed, which is contaminated because it was accumulated by a motivation that was infused with afflictions. And all these phenomena of samsara are empty of inherent existence. They are empty of being established by way of their own defining characteristics. The second category of phenomena, those which are going beyond, so not necessarily the term we'd normally hear, gone beyond, here we can think of going beyond. Those phenomena which are consciousnesses that are either leading to the state of liberation or the consciousnesses of the state of liberation. So here we think of consciousnesses such as refuge, definite emergence, love, compassion, bodhicitta, the wisdom understanding and the wisdom realizing emptiness. These are all the consciousnesses that lead to liberation and enlightenment. These are the phenomena that are going beyond samsara. And these too are empty of inherent existence, empty of being established by way of their own defining characteristics. So when you hear the phenomena both of samsara and those going beyond samsara are empty of inherent existence or empty of true existence, one would wonder then, so what is meant by inherent existence that all phenomena are said to be empty of? If a phenomenon were to exist inherently or by way of its own nature or essence, it would exist by way of this own nature. It wouldn't require anything else in order to exist, anything else such as causes, for example. It would be independent or self-powered or self-existent because it exists by way of its own defining characteristic, its own essence, its own nature. If a phenomenon existed in this way, independent of anything else, not requiring anything else in order to exist, it would be inherently existent or naturally existent or existing by way of its own essence or characteristics. There's no phenomenon at all anywhere within the entire class of samsaric phenomena or those phenomena going beyond samsara. There's not a single phenomenon that has ever been found that exists in this way, by way of its own nature, self-existent, under its own power. But phenomena do exist. And how so? Well, they don't exist under their own power, but they exist dependent on others. In particular, independence on imputation or labeling or designation by mind. Everything that exists, exists in this way. Dependent, not independent. Dependent, in particular, dependent on labeling or imputation by mind. The first line then in Tibetan, which as I've read is spread across the first two parts in English, is in brief, all phenomena without exception are empty of inherent existence or separated free from inherent existence. Despite no phenomenon existing in by way of its own nature, this is how phenomena appear to us. Whatever phenomenon appears to mind, whatever the object of our consciousness, object of our thought is, it appears to us as if it is self-existent. Exists by way of its own nature. It is really exists in the way that it appears. That is how phenomena appear to us. That the way that it appears is how it exists. Everything appears to us in this way. But when we search, investigate this phenomenon to see if it does exist in the way that it appears, as self-existent, it has its own nature or characteristics, no such nature or characteristics can be found.
Pumbo 那地，地心啊，都那晚那些地方，碰不了，没地方可能我就住在那晚那些有的，天天去找个人也明白的。但到土生的，家里，但俺的家里土了，比方说土新的，碰不了对些，绿化大把证据也把吃过来，别人俺是碰不的，刚把把自己怕是着的个了，搞住都是的，俺住过也是，其实你碰不了对些怕绿化大下把些。 对对对，个了，俺对，俺对也是，碰不得，估计马大姐几个对对呢，俺对对也有。这种碰不得了，大就乱跑，俺是怕大把子越跑的嘛多。就是俺写的，先碰不了对就乱，大把子没人把俺写的，真的你也没得个，就谁不着去，真的给用过了吧？真的都心就些歪呢，俺就给都去呢，俺那乱先起来对呢，乱大把子越跑的，每一天都上大把呢。
If we take as an illustration the self or the I, the person, our sense of self appears to mind, so if it's an object of thought, it appears as if it is separate from our aggregates, something that's always been throughout this life, unchanging. But our aggregates, our body and mind, clearly has changed, but the self appears unrelated, something separate. But if we investigate to see if our self exists in the way that it appears as something unrelated to the aggregates, as existing by way of its own nature, no such self can be found. No self that is independent and unrelated to the aggregates can be found. We see that there is a relationship between the self and the aggregates, despite the self appear innately, naturally appearing as if it is unrelated, independent or separate from the aggregates. But when we investigate, we see but there is a relationship between the self and the physical mental aggregates, the body and mind. And then when we investigate further, we also come to see that the self or the I, the person, is not identical with any of the aggregates either. I am not my body. I am not any of my consciousnesses either. So when we investigate, we come to see that the way the self appears as independent is not how it exists. Something is existing by way of its own nature. We can't find any such self-existent self. We see that it clearly cannot be independent of our body and mind, our aggregates. But also, when we continue to investigate, we see it is not identical with our body and or mind. But that, though, so whilst we see that the self does not exist in the way that it appears, it's empty of existing in the way that it appears, it doesn't mean the self doesn't exist at all. We are not non-existent. But then how does the self, the person, the I exist? The way that it exists is as a mere imputation or label by mind onto the basis which is the aggregates. Sometimes one of them, sometimes more than one of them. So a consciousness labels person onto one or some of the aggregates. For example, if we are asked, have you seen so-and-so? And say, yes, she's over there. So we're imputing that person onto her body. Onto her form, we impute that person. Likewise, onto consciousnesses. How we are feeling, we impute ourselves, our I, onto a particular feeling. And we identify with that feeling. But that feeling is not the self. Merely a consciousness labels the person onto another consciousness, a particular feeling. So this is how we can come to recognize, firstly, how the self appears. Secondly, it does not exist in the way that it appears. Thirdly, the way that it does exist is merely as an imputation or as a label by mind. So I feel that it's a lot easier to recognize this with our self, with our I, because this is something that is central to all our thoughts. But when you get familiar with this process, you can apply it to all other phenomena, whether phenomena of consciousness, other persons, or material phenomena, all appear in the same way. Through analysis, one finds they do not exist in that way, but they do still exist, and they exist in the way that has just been presented, labeled by mind.
And then the word my milam jishin jeba tam chi ji se milam se milam jishin se or se sa milam jishin se de ma de nilam na le ya an ji ge be ji be sa je ta an ji me do dum ra la so ba de de be ning ji wo cham yo sing ji wo xiu ji tong wen ne tong wen ne nilam na le ya nilam na le ya wo ni yo ba ru xin go de yin na ni se ji de ji je ba chen na de xi nilam ni ma do wo ni na wa na xin ji zao yin de yo yo ma de se sa di Nilam ya, wene ya yobar, nengor de ine ya, ni se yodu, di wene yomar, nawa nasin tau in yomares. And dinasin de chukanichin and to nayadu, gala shenji la matuba rang wene tuba, nengor de, matu nawa nasin chiba chiba ina, ne yomares, chisa milam de chiba de his word. Milam chishin said.
Starting the second line in Tibetan. Which for us now is in the first line, though all things are like a dream. So this term, or this analogy of phenomena being like a dream, or things being like a dream, is very useful. Because we know from experience that whilst we are dreaming, what appears to consciousness, appears to our mind, appears to us as if this is real, this is true. For example, if we're dreaming that we are in a beautiful natural environment, during the dream, this appearance appears to be true or real. But we know after that dream that what we dreamt of did not exist in the way that it appeared at all. And this is an analogy for every object of consciousness, in particular in our waking life. That every object of thought, everything we are thinking about, whether it's something we see or hear or taste, or something we are recalling or thinking about in the future, everything we're thinking about appears to us as if it's true, real, that it exists in the way that it appears. Just like that beautiful environment in the dream, whilst we are dreaming, we're at the ocean side or in the beautiful forest. But when we investigate, we recognize doesn't exist in the way that it appears at all.
Tesanda, Nganjuge, Rashing and Juba, Temba Juba Yina, and Che Kanishina, Kun Yema Kanishina, Tahara, Mother, you are Juba, you know, my dear. Tesan Rashing, Majuba Yinza, Koshenchila Duni, Jubio Batana, Shenchila Duni, and Jubio Batan, Shenchila Duni, you are Juba, you know, Shenchila Duni, Jayuba. Tell it in the Jew,
If phenomena existed in the way they appeared, by way of their nature or essence, they would have two characteristics. One being, they would be independent. So they'd be self-existent, not be influenced by anything at all, such as labeling or causes. Moreover, not being influenced by anything at all, there'd be no impetus for them to change. They would be unchanging, completely static. But this is not how phenomena exist. But if they did so, this is how they would exist. If they exist by their way of their own nature, they would be independent, in other words, not influenced by anything at all, such as labeling or causes, and they would be unchanging. So if we take an illustration, the consciousness of happiness. If we take this as, see how it appears as if existent by way of its own nature, and therefore independent and unchanging. But we know through reflection that happiness does not exist in this way. It comes about independent on causes. So it's not self-existent, but dependent on other. And the other being causes. The next two lines then, together, I sincerely rejoice in the bliss and joy of all ordinary, of all Aryas and ordinary beings, and in every virtue that has ever arisen. So here, this expresses what is being rejoiced in. So it's referring to all the bliss and joy in the continuums of all Arya and ordinary beings. So being all Aryas, it refers to those of all three lineages, whether of the hero type, the solitary realizer type, or the bodhisattva type. All Aryas are their bliss and joy is rejoiced in, as well as the bliss and joy of ordinary beings. And here ordinary beings will refer to those on a path, such as the path of accumulation or on either of the paths of accumulation or preparation, as well as those who have yet to achieve a path. Beings, whether they are of the inclination to the small scope, middling scope, or the great scope, all ordinary beings, their joy, their bliss and joy is also rejoiced in. All the virtue that has ever been generated by both ordinary and Arya beings, in that we are generated. And whether that virtue is accumulated through physical actions or verbal actions or mentally, we rejoice in it.
Dene sangye ki simchen, dene nyemle jene sangye ki kubwa top tsewe che la, sangye ki kubwa top ne da, chenpa tar chenpa to toba, nipunsun soba gyule gyewe gyewa dike samta. Da dene sangye ne, ane sangye ki shen le, chue ki kulu, chue sung che, chue sung ne, chue di nyenke da, jike nyenje tue sam gomsum che ne, da janshu senpa pape kansa ta, janshu senpa sosu kipa kansa, di jike nyemle jibe gyewa, bato meba yores, gyewa dike samta. Dene, ane di chue nyenge, ane rangya da, nyendue da, ane di menpeke lamla ma shubhe gansu sosu kibo, jesu ki duus chene gyawa sashe, pe yaku resim peke, dene ki yaku resim, gyawa duus samda ne, yaku resim samda. Da dene gyawa sabwa jesu le, dene, ane maungba na karyongos ne, lui dewa ta, sem kiwa gaide siyade, gaide chiriyan chewe, namka la se gaide siyuruwa, chizan dega siyuruwa, dega chiriyan chewe, namka dewa. Dewa dan gawa sin, gawa disu sabwa la dini, tse dili dewa, ane gen sim
Rejoicing in the merits that has been accumulated by all beings can be done in a brief way or an expansive way, depending on the time one has. So if we take, for example, the Buddha, Buddhas in general, the historical Buddha, we can think, start by recalling the training that being would have gone through in order to become a Buddha, generating definite emergence, understanding the sufferings of samsara and thereafter, through relating to the situation of others too, generating love and compassion for all beings, developing that into the mind of enlightenment, bodhicitta itself, where the being that would become the Buddha, determined to become a Buddha for the sake of all suffering mother beings. Having generated bodhicitta, then the long training in practices such as generosity, ethical restraint, patience, and so forth became perfections, because they were now in the continuum of a being where they were conjoined with bodhicitta. And in this way, the bodhisattva progressed through the varying paths, cultivating first the path of accumulation, then preparation, and then seeing it within the continuum and progressing until enlightenment itself, the fulfillment of all their aspirations to become a Buddha for the sake of others, was achieved. And then, immediately arising as the four bodies, with the perfected wisdom, compassion, and power, engaged in enlightened activities, teaching the Dharma, benefiting beings, perfect accordance with their own individual personalities and dispositions. We can also, time allowing, reflect on the great virtue and deeds of bodhisattvas, as well as those of the hearer and solitary realizer lineages, as well as all those ordinary beings. So in this way, we rejoice in every virtue that has ever been accumulated, and we rejoice in the bliss and joy that results from that virtue. The third line in the Tibetan is in the bliss and joy in every virtue that has ever arisen. So in the Tibetan, those two segments are together. So here, when we rejoice, we call to mind all the virtue that has ever been accumulated, or as we have, has ever arisen, and that refers to, across the three times, what has in the past been accumulated, what is being accumulated now, and what is still to be accumulated by both sets of beings, ordinary beings as well as Aryas, as well as then not just rejoicing in the virtue that has and is and will be accumulated, but also that because virtue is the cause for happiness, we rejoice in all the joy and bliss that beings have are and will experience, in particular in the ultimate bliss of enlightenment. Now we're looking at moving on to the 40th verse, that of requesting to teach. Please let fall a rain of profound and extensive Dharma from 100,000 billowing clouds of perfect wisdom and compassion to nurture, sustain and propagate a garden of moonflowers for the benefits and bliss of all limitless beings.
Adelia Puljun Kenze Nil Chuzin Bum Chiksido, Chuzin Bum Chiklana, Chuzin and the Timbalagor and the Chava Yudin, Chu Yudikin, and the Timbatil Siro. Bum Chiks, the Bum said, Bum, the Tangas and Bum Sira, the Mangushura, Chickpas and the Tayab, Tongba Meba, Namga Chasanja, Timba, Chu Yudikin, Chu Chava Chapter Yudikin, but Timba Namga Chasan Chapter Bayena, and the Ma Chavadi.
First line in the Tibetan is our second line, from 100,000 billowing clouds. So the expression of 100,000 billowing clouds is to conjure an image of of just like a sky that is filled with thick clouds. With such a sky, you know, when it rains, everywhere will be saturated. There'll be no ground left dry. The rain will fall everywhere without exception. So that's the purpose of this particular analogy. So that then would be the general meaning of this expression. The first line in the Tibetan continues, from 100,000 billion clouds of perfect wisdom and nectar, perfect wisdom and compassion. So in English we have this of nectar, it's not in the Tibetan. So here the clouds are just an analogy, of course, but what it is referring to is our Lama's perfect wisdom and compassion pervades the entire sky, so that his enlightened activities benefit all beings without exception. All beings without exception, with none excluded, will be led through his wisdom and his compassion to achieve their own enlightenment.
Lama Lama Lami ki the Kenju Newsmu and the Kimbu and then Zeu and the Nubu and the Andi Pat Chike Delia and then a dead sort of thing or what?
Here we just have two, but there's a third quality also that would be included. It's not specifically stated, but the qualities of wisdom and compassion, and the third would be that of power. So these are all perfectly developed within the Lama's enlightened mind, and through these, he benefits all beings without exception. The second line in Tibetan is our final line, a garden of moonflowers for the benefit and bliss of all limitless beings. And perhaps instead of moonflowers, they can be translated as jasmine. So the analogy, the word we have, garden is fine, but the idea is like a thick jungle, that you have the jasmine flowers where they are clustered together so densely that it's almost like a thick and deep wall of these flowers. And these are a visual representation, just like the clouds of the Lama's wisdom, compassion, and love, benefiting all beings without exception, and benefiting them in the most profound of ways. So these represent here, the garden of moonflowers, the sentient beings that have been benefited, are being benefited, and will still be benefited by the wisdom, compassion, and power that pours down from the billowing clouds. So this then is the meaning of the illustrations here.
Yeah.
So I'll try to say it a little more clearly than in the last segment. So the clouds symbolize the all-pervasive wisdom, compassion, and power that rain down, benefiting all the wisdom, compassion, and power of the Lama, that rains down, benefiting all sentient beings without a single exception. And then this thick and deep wall of jasmine flowers represents the resulting benefits and bliss, both temporary benefit as well as ultimate benefit, as well as can be considered physical benefits, physical happiness and mental happiness. This is all symbolized by this thick wall of jasmine flowers, and the benefit and bliss that arises within limitless sentient beings, both in the past that have already, and the present are being, and in the future are still to be benefited by the rainfall of wisdom, compassion, and power. And to summarize the first two lines in Tibetan, from 100,000 billowing clouds of perfect wisdom and compassion, then this is where we recognize in the qualities of our Lama's body, speech, and mind, his qualities of wisdom, compassion, and power. So the first line then, from 100,000 billowing clouds of perfect wisdom and compassion, here we recognize our Lama's qualities of body, speech, and mind. Then the second line of the Tibetan, a garden of moonflowers for the benefits and bliss of all limitless beings. So here we imagining the results of his enlightened activities, the expression of his wisdom, compassion, and power that have been benefiting beings in the past, now in the present, as well as in the future. And this is visualized through the presentation of a garden of jasmine flowers. Third line in Tibetan is also our third line, to nurture, sustain, and propagate. So the term we have as nurture is more of to generate or to produce. So here in the third line, nurture, sustain, and propagate, we are making supplications to our Lama that for all for ourselves and all beings, all good qualities that are yet to be generated, so we have here as nurture, but it's more generate or produce, may I generate them within myself. Teach me so that, in dependence on your teachings, I generate these qualities within me, as do all beings. And the second term, sustain, this then would refer to all qualities that have already been generated, may these remain for a long time. In other words, not degenerate. May they remain for a long time. So again, for ourselves and all others. And then the third, propagate. This is maybe better translated as to increase. So the good qualities that have already been generated and are remaining or sustained within us, remaining within us, may these increase. And those that we are to generate, when they are generated, may they too increase. And we're making this application then for all. Then that's a third line. Then the fourth line in the Tibetan is our first line. And this again is continuing the supplication to the Lama. Please let fall a rain of profound and extensive Dharma. Between, at the end of, in the Tibetan, at the end of the third line, linking to the fourth line, is, we don't have it, but it's an in order to. So before I present what Genda said in the explanation of the third line, of the fourth line in the Tibetan is this supplication, requesting particular teachings so that we can, what we have in our third line, generate a realization and sustain realizations we already have and increase our realizations. So in order to do that, we then have the final line in Tibetan, our first line, please let fall a rain of profound and extensive teachings. Profound then refer to the wisdom teachings, the teachings as earlier in the class on the nature of reality, how phenomena appear, how they exist, the appearance and reality. So that's all included within the profound teachings. Then the extensive or vast teachings refer to all the other teachings. So those in relation to definite emergence, love, compassion, bodhicitta, the perfections of, for example, generosity, ethical restraint, patience, joyous perseverance, and concentration, those first five. All of these are included within the extensive or vast Dharma, and the profound again are the wisdom teachings. And then This practice of the Lama Chöpa, the entire, all the trainings, the mental trainings that are found in the Lamrim teachings are condensed here. One can, through engaging in this practice, reflect on all the varying points of the Lamrim, and also do so in a way that is supremely skillful. First, when one's engaging in meditation on the Lamrim, first one can reflect how all sentient beings, any differences we perceive are merely superficial. Even at a slightly deeper level, we can recognize we are all the same. None of us want to experience even the slightest discomfort, let alone pain and misery. All of us want to experience only happiness and joy. There really is no fundamental difference between any being at all. Reflecting on that, how we are all the same, and that my own individual longing for happiness and wish to be freed of pain and misery is shared by every being and motivates their every action, can generate the thought, may all beings, without exception, may we achieve a state freed of pain, a state freed of misery and problems, attain a state of lasting, stable happiness. But in order for this to come about, ourselves and all beings need a skilled guide. A skilled guide in teaching us, training us in how to identify the causes for happiness and suffering and how to cultivate the causes for happiness and eliminate those that would otherwise lead to suffering. And only a Buddha is able to lead us to full enlightenment, because only a Buddha can do so from experience. Here we can recall the qualities of the Buddha, extensive qualities of the Buddha, so as to generate trust and conviction that the Buddha is a reliable guide, particular his teachings. And this way we now, secondly, generate refuge. Having generated refuge, we remind ourselves that the only way to spiritually develop to eradicate the causes that will lead to suffering and to accumulate causes that lead to happiness. And therefore, I need to train and cultivate all the varying causes that lead to happiness, such as practices such as generosity, ethics, patience, joy, perseverance, and concentration. Not only do I need to accumulate the causes that lead to happiness, I also need to eradicate all causes that would otherwise lead to suffering, that would limit my wisdom. And therefore I need to cultivate also the wisdom realizing emptiness. And in dependence on my growing pile of merit, as well as my wisdom, and thereby these two combined, skill, I can help others. My interactions with others can be beneficial through my growing wisdom and compassion. My interactions with others will be ever more beneficial. But I am yet unable to help beings in the way they really need to be helped in the accumulation of causes that lead to happiness and eradication of causes that will otherwise lead to suffering. So this then brings us to the third step. Here, we develop a determination ourselves to become a Buddha. Because it's only a Buddha that has unobstructed wisdom and thereby can engage with others precisely in accordance with their own unique individual personalities and karmic backgrounds. And it's a Buddha that has the all-pervasive compassion that would ensure that every being without exception is treated with the care and the kindness and the skill required. So here we generate bodhicitta. Previously, we would have reflected on wisdom as well as the other steps of the meditation, such as generosity and ethics. Before that, refuge. And before that, seeing the coming to recognize the equanimity of beings, or rather developing an impartial attitude towards all beings. So this is a skillful way to do this meditation. The meditation I just presented will be the foundational meditation of that particular session. Thereafter, one calls to mind one's Lama, Yidam, and the Buddha, recognizing that they are indivisible. There is no difference between them in nature. Here one can perform this visualization in different ways. One can merely visualize Buddha Shakyamuni, recognizing that Buddha Shakyamuni, all the Buddhas, including our Lama and Yidam, are indivisible in nature. Or, as is presented in this text, one visualizes our Lama in the aspect of Lama Tsongkhapa, with Buddha Shakyamuni at his heart, and our Yidam at his heart. Or one can even visualize Lama in human form, and then with a Buddha Shakyamuni and Yidam at his heart. Whatever one feels more inclined to. And then recognizing that our Lama, like all the Buddhas, has the perfected qualities of wisdom, compassion, and power, and thereby can act in the precise manner to benefit each and every being. So here now, with the basis of our previously generated motivation, now our visualization, a mind of trust and conviction in our Lama, knowing that in order to actually generate these minds that we aspire to, such as bodhicitta, we have to accumulate vast stores of merit and wisdom. Now we make supplications, requests to our Lama for blessings, or perhaps best translated as inspiration, for us to develop these qualities within us. One can make these supplications for inspiration through the recitation of verses that one finds inspiring, or recitation of mantras, such as mani mantras, and then engage in a specific meditation, such as on love or compassion or bodhicitta. But engage in the specific meditation of the session, having in this way first developed the foundational motivation, secondly, generated the visualization of one's Lama and requested an inspiration, and then one is ready, one is open, one's heart is open to cultivate minds of wisdom or love or definite emergence readily, easily within oneself.
Dene, an di je liya, an kewa diya, ngwa kya xe re, da sim je tam je yudan sanjyo kubo, dati di shubhe chi samda, dene ke kewa sa xewe, kewa di sim je tam je yudan sanjyo kubo, tu bi gyur gyuwa shuwa xe, da xean liya, penpa kya chenpo, je tu bi gyur gyuwa shuwa xe, bi da ngwa kya di re.
One concludes then with the meditation, with a dedication. In brief, all the virtue that's accumulated, has been and will still be, may it ripen or serve as causes to lead each and every being without exception to full and complete enlightenment. The meditation I've just presented can be done in 5 minutes. That's as long as it took me to say it, and it takes that long to think it all. Or you can extend it a little bit and do it in more detail if time allows. And when you do have more time, you can do the Lama Chöpa. Because what I've expressed here in these few minutes is presented in an extensive manner in the Lama Chöpa. So lives are busy. Sometimes one only has a bit of time. But at other times you have a bit more, and other times even more. So there, in this way, if you can sustain a daily practice, sometimes even if it's just short, but keep it sustained, keep those embers warm, then when you have more time, you'll be ready to dive into this in a more extensive way. In a few minutes, we'll recite our final dedications for this class for this year. So just before we do, I first want to express particular thanks to all those who've made our classes possible. So here, I don't know the various job roles here, but the few that I know, I can think of our director and the SBC, as well as all the other staff and volunteers who make these classes possible. But also for the classes to be possible, it requires all of us to be here. This entire dependency is required for the classes to happen. And so we've come together in this way, and this Wednesday evenings over the course of this year, sometimes remotely, sometimes in person. But we have on each occasion accumulated vast stores of merit, and we have strengthened our Dharma connection together. And this gives me great cause to rejoice in our good fortune. And I encourage you to now rejoice also in our good fortune, as well as when we come to dedicate. And then thanks the translator, because without a translator and his somewhat limited English, then these classes would have been rather quiet. Firstly, we can dedicate all this virtue to all the holy beings across all traditions in the world, calling to mind particularly those that we are most connected to, such as His Holiness and Lama Zopa. May all these beings who are working so hard and skillfully for the benefit of all, may they continue to abide in our world for a long time. May all their aspirations be quickly fulfilled.
Secondly,
may the world and all their beings abide in harmony and peace. Wherever there's external conflict, whether that is a conflict between peoples, whether between individuals within families, or within society, or between nations, or where the conflict is as physical suffering, such as where the body is not in harmony, and therefore illness is experienced, or other forms of physical suffering, whether experienced by humans or animals. May all beings generate love and compassion within themselves, and in this way, caring for others as much as they currently do for themselves, may all beings live in peace. Using as illustrations of all activities in the world to bring benefit to others, may our Dharma Center, the nunnery, the monastery, and the stupa, and all other projects that are motivated to bring benefit to others, may their aspirations quickly be accomplished in accordance with the Dharma.
Chosho ke jawa, dini ki chasan ya, ni nyanshi chiya, gogoprawa,
Thereafter, all our own individual aspirations and those all that we know, so what we are particularly aware of, as well as all those of beings, may they be accomplished in accordance with the Dharma. And moreover, opportunities such as these that are so rare in the world, may they become accessible to ever more beings. May the most suitable path for each and every being to spiritual development, to the generation of love, compassion and wisdom, may these open and become accessible and available to all beings.
Hare dadinang to ge losa ba jobule ro yare dan ji ge christmas ye jobule ro yare chasa chasa ya man chasa ni ji ge lusim de ki thone ne de ki chasa ga bo ya da ji bo ya ge ne ro wa da cham ji ji de ji de le si cha ye.
Thank you. You soon will be spending time with family for Christmas and New Year, and from now, for throughout this life, I wish all of you deep and lasting happiness, physical health, and mental and emotional calm and peace and happiness. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.